You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked onto the Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Paddock with the Dallas Morning News. Here today, talk a little bit more with Locked On A's host Jason Burke about the Elvis Andrus and Chris Davis trade, or as formerly known as K. Chris Davis. But before we get to that, there's a little bit of news that I wanted to touch on that's been happening the last couple days. It has not been formally announced yet, but the Rangers are close to a deal with a veteran left-handed starting pitcher from the KBO, Yang Hyung-jung. There's been a long-time interest in him by the Rangers. He is a lefty, like I said. He is a 32-year-old who has a shot to join the rotation in 2021, according to reports out of Korea. He's for the last 14 seasons pitching for the Kia Tigers and Korea. He was the KBO's Pitcher of the Year in 2017. That year, he went 20-6 and was just very solid that year. This year hasn't been as great. He had a 4.70 ERA in 172 innings this year. That is still a lot of innings. Was seventh in the KBO in innings pitched in 2020, and as was the 11th highest innings total for any professional pitcher in the world. So that's because the KBO had a longer season than everybody else, but doesn't matter. The Rangers made a bid for him back in 2014 when Kia opposed him, but the bid was ultimately rejected and he remained in Korea. So they've got three starters absolutely locked into the rotation: Kyle Gibson, Kohei Arihara, and Mike Foltynewicz. Yang, who reportedly had long-term interest to remain in Kia, with Kia, would also be competing with Dane Dunning, Kyle Cody, and Jordan Lyles for innings. I think Jordan Lyles is definitely on the low end of the totem pole there. I think Dane Dunning is kind of a lock for the rotation. Kyle Cody, after his really, really solid year last year, I mean, I don't know if I believe it because it was such a short sample size. I think, what, only six or seven starts? Definitely fewer than 10, but they were solid in the innings that he was pitching, and I'm very excited for that for him, but I'm not necessarily banking on him making the opening day rotation and staying in the rotation for the entirety of the season. Honestly, just hope he's healthy all of next year. And lastly, the last bit of Rangers news is that the Rangers are going to sign Brock Holt. I don't know if it's been officially announced yet, but it's definitely close. And by the time you're listening to this, it probably has been done. But Brock Holt is a Stephenville High School graduate, so a Texan, a veteran middle infielder. He went to Navarro College as well, and eventually Rice. He is 32 years old. He spent most of his career as a utility infielder with more than 100 starts at both second and third base. According to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, the deal will be worth $1.75 million in the majors. It could jump by another $750,000 in incentives. So, could be a pretty lucrative deal for him. He began 2020 with Milwaukee and just did not do well. He started off going 3-for-30 and they ended up cutting him. He played 20 games with Washington with a slash line of 262, 314, and 354 in 70 plate appearances. So an OPS under 700, which is not great, but was about on par with most of the Rangers last season. But he definitely gives the Rangers a potential platoon at third with Culberson, who is a righty and absolutely excels against lefty hitters or lefty pitchers, and would give somebody to excel against righties. Also would give Rougned Odor a lot more competition and say that he no longer has a guaranteed start or spot to start. So I don't know. I'm not that enthused about it. I think it's literally, he's just there for training camp. He has not done well in quite a few years. He had a little bit of good times with Boston, but it has not gone well for him lately. But, you know, another player with just, that's just, that's got his pedigree of just being a pro for quite a while, and has been an all-star and has won a World Series, but he's a long way removed from that. His one all-star season was in 2015 with Boston, back when he was 27, which don't really know how this happened because he wasn't that great that year. It was just kind of when Boston was mediocre, if it, I felt like, because it just looking at his numbers, it doesn't make sense. He hit 280 that year. He had two home runs in 129 games. Two home runs in 129 games. Had an OPS of 727. Didn't win a gold glove. His metrics weren't that impressive that year. I mean, he had a 2.7 WAR. That's his best season. And somehow he was an all-star that year? I don't understand. But he's fine. He's okay. And for the Rangers, that's about enough of what it takes to make this roster. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. But yesterday, Evan Grant, I'll be going to this later next week. Evan Grant released his first version of the 2021 spring training player breakdown with comments and notes about literally everybody on the roster, everybody with a non-roster invitee, just a lot of words and tables that I helped work very hard on to get that up and make it look all pretty. And Evan, of course, was stellar as always. So go check that out on the Dallas Morning News' website. But we're going to get, right after this word from our sponsors, we are going to get in even more talking about this Elvis Andrews trade, breaking it down, hearing about what we can expect from Chris Davis, and a little more on this trade and just how it shapes up for the Rangers in 2021, right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all the sports action you want to get in on. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. RockAuto.com is the place to go if you know everything about cars or if you know nothing about cars like me. My grandfather knew everything about cars. He used to work on cars for a long time, but he didn't teach me everything he knew. So if I've got something wrong with my car, where do I go? I go to RockAuto.com. It's a family business serving car parts, auto car parts customers online for 20 years. They've got everything that you need from control modules, brake pads, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. RockAuto.com, their catalog is super unique and easy to use, and you can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose from the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com, they're always reliably low. And the same for pros or do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much on the same parts? You wouldn't, because you'd go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. And now here's part two of my chat with Locked On A's host Jason Burke about the trade of Elvis Andrews for Chris Davis. Sean Manaea is, MLB The Show loves him. Also, side note, the only 2 years of the show that I've bought have been the two most miserable years in Rangers history. So I'm going to go ahead and buy it for next year because like the Rangers are going to suck anyway. And like, there's no way around that. But like I bought it in 2014 when everybody was injured. Profar got the shoulder injury that basically derailed his entire career, and Prince Fielder was diagnosed with the thing that would end up ending his career. And basically most of the other, like more than half the roster spent at least like 60 days on the DL that year.
I remember that year, you know,
it was brutal.
I wasn't rooting for it to happen, but I was like, at least we don't got to worry about the Rangers this year.
And then they come back and are good the next year somehow. But and they also wasted being that bad on a pick that ended up being nothing. That's a whole other thing that I'm still mad about and will never get over. But, you know, I've already talked about it quite a bit on the podcast. I think Heim might end up being the Rangers' starting catcher next year. I mean, as much as I love Jose Trevino, unless his offensive improvements last year continue, I mean, I feel like it's the starting catching job is very much wide open. But I don't know. I'm confused as to where they're going to use him, or Chris Davis, that being him. But I'm excited. I like having guys with pop in the lineup. And last year was such a miserable offensive year that, like, I can't suffer through something that bad offensively again. I don't think Joey Gallo is going to have the same season that he did last year. Like, he's going to get back to some version of what he did at his peak in 2019. But I don't know.
Do you I'm think just excited that was partially something. The new park, or was it that their team stinks?
So I think it's quite a few things. So he at the beginning of the season he had a positive COVID test, but didn't have any symptoms, and it was literally only one positive COVID test in like six in a row that he took, but they treated it like he had COVID. I'm not sure that he did. He's not sure that he did, but he basically missed the entire like summer camp, second spring training. Mm-hmm. So he came into the season like off on a bad foot. And when he came back, the Rangers were already in deep hole and they were just garbage offensively. And so he put more pressure on himself because he was the only bat worth a dang in that lineup. And that proved to be the case for like the entire season. And so the more he struggled, the more pressure he put on himself. Something that I think was a factor that we didn't know at the time was Drew Robinson, one of his very close friends, had attempted suicide earlier that year. That just came out with Jeff Passan's story. But Joey and Drew were really close. They came up in the minors together. They're both Vegas kids. They even had a house that they shared together that year that Drew first made the major leagues. So I think that was definitely something that weighed on him all year that we didn't know about at the time. That with all the other stuff and just 2020 being a garbage year from heck for everybody. Like that's why I am more than willing to write off last year for Joey Gallo as just being one bad year, because let's face it, everybody had a bad 2020. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everybody had a bad 2020 for themselves. So I don't think he's going to be that bad this year. I think it'll be more like what he was in 2019, probably not that fully actualized Joey version of himself, but definitely an improved version of himself from last year.
I've been saying for a while now that I take 2020 stats and I just throw them out the window, basically, because it was a weird year, especially if they've had like history of success and then all of a sudden they fell apart. I'm like, yeah, I'm throwing that away. They'll be fine in 2021 is basically my rule of thumb.
Even Nolan Arenado had a bad 2020. Like he was the model Nolan Arenado. He had like I think 800 OPS, which would have been like best on the Rangers by far. But like every year for like 5 years in a row, he had an OPS from like 930 to like 950, like 5 years in a row. It was scary.
And, you know, Matt Olson didn't hit very well. Andrews hit under 200, just like Olson. And I think that with Andrews, I'm more worried about his back injuries than I am 2020 stats and, you know, the decline. I'm more worried about him being healthy. I think that he'll be fine if he can, you know, have a back, I guess.
Have a functioning back. You know, yes. That's the pains of being older. But I do believe that being closer geographically to Adrian Beltre will definitely help him, because, you know, just for anybody, I think being geographically closer to Adrian Beltre makes you better.
Where does he live?
Beltre lives in LA.
So that's why they won the World Series.
Yep.
Figured it out.
Is why. Some leftover Beltre magic. That means that he should get his ring. I mean, he should have got it in 2011, but you know, we're not talking about that anymore.
Yeah, I already brought that up once. I can't do it again.
That's fair.
Do you have a favorite Elvis Andrews moment? It could be him and Beltre or whatnot, because they were everybody's favorite buddy duo in baseball.
Gosh, yeah, they really were. John Daniels brought one up. Because there's so many off the field good moments that like you kind of forget about the special player he was on the field. Mm-hmm. But JD brought this up in an interview, talking about game two of the 2010 ALCS against the Yankees. Rangers were down 0-1 in that series. And Elvis Andrews got this single, advanced on a wild pitch, stole third, and then stole home. And I believe that gave the Rangers the lead. But like, that's the kind of guy, he has the most stolen, like, successful steals of home, I think, for any Ranger. He's got at least like three, maybe as many as five. But the guy is fearless on the base paths. Like, when the Rangers were running wild in 2010 and 11 and 12 as well, he was a big leader of that. And just every single moment of him and Beltre, like, runs together for me. Even at Beltre's retirement ceremony, he would tell all these stories, and even like got to touch Beltre's head. I think like right after he was like done giving his speech, or right before, I can't remember. But just every single Adrian and Elvis moment was special. I mean, we loved Elvis like before Adrian came along. Granted, he only had 2 years in the big leagues before Adrian came to Texas, but that just like made us love both of them more, mm-hmm. which was just really special to see. So I honestly wish him nothing but the best, and I think this will be a good situation for him. It surprised him. I thought initially, I'm like, he had to have like asked for this, like, that this isn't something that like comes out of the blue, but Elvis said that he was shocked by this. But you know, I think it'll be a good opportunity for him. I think it could benefit both sides, which, you know, a trade in division usually has to, like, you don't usually get lopsided trades in the division, because like you cannot afford to lose those trades, because then you'll be seeing that team 19, 20 times a year and feeling the brunt of those mistakes. But I think this could work out for both teams. One last thing that I wanted to bring up with old K-Chris is his ridiculous stats at I call it the ballpark in Arlington, as most Ranger fans purists do, the old Rangers ballpark. Let me just read you off his stats in 36 games. It felt like he played so many more there. 159 plate appearances. The man hit .310 with an on base of .371 and slugged, wait for this, .779 at OPS over 1100, 1150 actually. He had 19 home runs in 36 games there. 19.
It's too bad that they don't play there anymore.
Like, I am going to officially sign the petition for them to go back there, because Chris Davis will win the MVP. Like, I am convinced, even if he's just a DH, he will win. He will hit that well.
Well, at the very least, they should just have him demolish that ballpark.
Yeah, but it's being, well, I guess it's not really being used anymore. When they had the XFL, they were playing XFL games there. It was the Dallas Desperados, whatever their team was. I can't even remember what it was. I was so excited for them. Maybe it was the Vigilantes. I honestly can't remember. But they were games that they're still
left the last inning impact.
They really did. I know that they were light blue and Landry Jones was their quarterback, but I can't remember the name of the actual team. But they still have like events there and stuff.
Okay. So,
I mean,
they could just have Chris Davis home run derbies.
Honestly, like, he would win every single home run derby there. Like, everyone like plays normal baseball, but when it's Chris Davis's at bat, we come over to, all right, everyone pause. We're moving over across the street. It's literally just across the street. You can literally walk there in less than 5 minutes. So
I was like, oh, but he has to get batting, you know, the pitcher for his home run derby has to be an actual Rangers pitcher. And the only person I can think of is like Aaron Seeley, who was not in the same era by any means, but Aaron Seeley's thrown BP for him.
Honestly, literally anyone in a Rangers uniform and he turns into Barry Bonds, because
he had like a 10-20 OPS, I think, in all games against the Rangers. That includes the last couple of years. And that's just scary.
so
obviously crazy. You guys traded for Barry Bonds, and that's a plus for you guys. He's the best hitter to ever live.
And Barry Bonds, you know, kept being great until he was like 40. So Rangers are going to really end up winning this trade, because they're going to give him a contract extension halfway through the season, and things are going to be great.
They're going to fix his mental thing so that he can't throw baseballs from left field. And then he's going to be able to play left field again, because he's a decent fielder. He just can't throw.
That's fair.
Yeah, I don't know if you read it. I think he did an article on the Players Tribune like 3-4 years ago called like the Monster or something like that. It's basically like the Yips, but for an outfielder kind of thing, where he just it's not pretty. So that's why he just DHs. And you were talking about intra-division trades with, you know, you got to win them and all that stuff. And I know that, you know, the A's and Rangers trade a fair amount for division rivals, and they usually go fairly well. But I did want to point out a couple of trades that the A's and Astros have made, and the Astros have never come out on top of these.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. See, we're coming together against Houston.
That's like all of baseball. We all hate Houston. It brings us together.
It does. And hopefully we get to go boo them in person this year. That'd be wonderful.
Oh, gosh, that'd be so nice.
They traded for Jed Lowrie twice. And I'm going to go ahead and say they won both of those. I believe they also traded Scott Kazmir and got something decent. I forget what it was. That was fun because there was like 2 months of Scott Kazmir, and they didn't win the World Series. So A's win. Then they also traded for Ramon Laureano, who's also really good. So they've done a really good job trading with the Astros, which I thoroughly enjoy. And I've always said Jeff Luhnow was great at building the team. He was horrible at trades. He always overpaid so much. If you think about the Mike Fiers and Carlos Gomez deal, he gave up Josh Hader and some other guys, but Josh Hader is the main one. I thought that Brett Phillips would be a lot better than he has turned out to be, except for his World Series exploits. But Shader has been really good, and they could have definitely used him like a year later as opposed to these two guys.
Yeah. The Carlos Gomez deal still makes me laugh because they cut him. They just straight up cut him, and the Rangers signed him. And he like had a home run in his first game against Houston, which was incredible. Like, not just like a home run, but like a freaking moonshot to the second or third deck. Like, it was loud, and it was a 3-run home run, I believe, which was just so beautiful.
Hey, you guys should sign Ken Giles. He's still on the market. And
no, I hate him.
Well, because he was with the Astros, or
he's just one of those people who's just like, he kind of seems like a D-bag.
To be fair, he did. I was doing press work a few years ago. He was still with the Astros, and I went into their clubhouse after the game, and he had given up like the game winning shot or something like that. And he was just gone. And everybody, and like the Houston media, like Brian McTaggart, and I forget the woman that does the TV for them, who's wonderful. I don't follow anybody anymore.
Oh gosh. I know who you're talking
Julia
about.
Morales. There you go.
Yeah.
She was very sweet. She was like, "Hey, how are you? What's your name?" I was like, "I'm Jason. I'm here. Hi."
I'm here.
Usually people that are in the media don't talk to people that they don't know. That's just how it has been in my thing. And also I probably look really creepy. I'm like, "Hi, I don't want to talk to anybody. Please don't talk to me." But anyways, yeah, they were all like, "Where did he go? This is just not no accountability on his part." And apparently he just did that when he would give up home runs.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. I really enjoyed seeing him come into games because I'm like, I mean, it could go well, but it also could go really poorly. Mm-hmm. And I always liked that about the Houston Astros bullpen. Real quick, before we wrap this up, we both hate the Astros, so we're a little bit biased, but how do you see them shaking up, like, in comparison to the A's this year, is I guess how I'll phrase that. Obviously the Angels are good, but they still don't have the pitching. If they sign, like, trade for Germán Márquez, I think that they're in the conversation. But I think that the A's and Astros are probably right around 85 to 87 wins. I don't know who is necessarily better. Being an A's fan, I think that they're the better team, especially now that they have a shortstop and some money to play with. And the Astros seem to be done spending, but how do you see it shaking out?
Honestly, I have a lot of questions about Houston. I feel more comfortable with Oakland's track record. There's more consistency there, and there's more guys who had bad seasons last year who I think are going to bounce back. Whereas in Houston, I don't know about, I mean, Carlos Correa, I think, is going to be fine, his normal stellar self. Bregman's going to be good. But losing Springer and they brought back Brantley, right?
They did.
For like an overpay?
It was like 2 years, 24 or something like that.
Yeah, that's an overpay for him. And I don't know about Altuve, how he's going to hold up. I mean, he's fun and he's good for baseball, but I don't know how much I think he's definitely started on the decline. And as much as I love Greinke, the rest of their pitching staff, I'm like, I got no clue about. But the A's are always scrappy and always good and always a pain in the butt. So I am definitely picking them to win this division, but I might be more bullish on Seattle making a leap and being ahead of the Angels this year. I don't know if they finished ahead of the Angels last year, but they got some real talent there, some real young guns that are just downright good players. And I don't know how they gained a farm system out of like nothing. Like in like a 2-3 year span, they went from like having a garbage farm system. They didn't trade away that many people. It's just like they hit on a bunch of guys like consecutively. And it makes me very jealous.
It helps when the Mets want to trade their best prospect for a contract. It'd be like, who's your best player?
Prospect?
In the minors.
Right. I ranked Josh Young, former Texas Tech third baseman.
So it'd be like trading for Josh Young for... I don't know.
To get off Ruben Odor's contract.
Yeah. Chris Davis, but for like a lot more money left owed to him. That's such a silly deal. I know that they got a reliever, Edwin Diaz too, but you don't trade for bullpen guys is how I've been raised because the A's can just make them on their own.
Yep. I have learned the same thing as the Rangers who always, there's always like every year there's like at least one guy who like comes up and is like just a very good bullpen arm for the Rangers. Like it just happens every year without fail. It's always some new guy. And usually because one of their reliable bullpen arms falls apart because that's just kind of what bullpen arms do. Usually right after the Rangers have given him a contract.
So my one thing with the Astros, circling back to that real quick, is they're putting a lot of stock into Yordan Alvarez being healthy for this year. And I don't know, if he goes down for any amount of time, I think that their season's basically over. Bregman probably rebounds a little bit, but a lot of their main guys were bad in 2020. And I don't know with the Astros, I know that I say I throw away 2020 stats if they have a track record, but at the same time, it's the first year that they were under a lot of scrutiny for being cheaters. And so they're the only team that's a little bit different. I don't know where to go with, are they going to rebound and go back to their old stats? Or is this the new normal because they don't have their same gadgets that they did before? So I don't know how to go with them. And in a 60 game season, I think that they were able to manipulate a little bit more, and being in a crappy division, they were like, we'll just take, the sixth seed, 'cause that's the guaranteed thing. If they have to actually win the division to get into the playoffs, I don't know that they can do that.
Yeah, they're not going to be a wild card.
Yeah, no.
There's just the two wild cards.
There's like six or seven teams that could vie for a playoff spot, I think. And it's going to be interesting, but they're not going to be able to use, random guys from the minor leagues in their bullpen. I know that they've built that up a little bit more. They got Josh Smith coming back. And then their rotation looks good, and now Framber Valdez has experience, but he's like 27 already. I thought that he was like 22. He's not. He's already a little bit older. I don't know that they can do their smoke and mirrors that they did in a 60-game season over the course of 162 and have the same results that they did. So yeah, I'm a little bit worried if I'm an Astros fan. But I do agree with you about the Mariners. They are going to be the gods of this division in like the next couple of years. Once they get some steady pitching, maybe a little bit better defense, these guys are going to be so good, and it's going to be one kind of fun to watch because they've been crappy for so long, but also not fun to play against if as A's and Rangers fans.
About to say, I have forgotten what it's like to like experience Mariners fans when their team is actually good because they've been broken and beaten for so long.
I don't know that I have a memory of this.
I only know because of my friends who were around for this, but they are unbearable when they're good. Like they are just straight up unbearable. So it's nice to have them broken and beaten for a little bit. So they're like, maybe they can be a little bit more humble once they come into their own, but I'm not holding my breath on it, because if my team sucked for that bad for that long and they started being good again, I would talk all of the mess all of the time to everyone.
Because you've been getting it for so long. I don't think that they've been like necessarily the butt of the joke as much as like the A's, because the A's don't win in the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, other teams that have a little bit of success, they're just almost forgotten about, but they're not like the Rockies at the same time. So they don't get that. I think that most fan bases that come into new winning or have, you know, been down for a little bit or, you know, just start winning are a little bit unbearable. I know that Rangers fans have irked me a decent amount in the past. Astros fans, still there.
And we were the exact same in 2010 when it had been a decade since we had made the playoffs. And immediately the first year back in the playoffs, we go to the World Series. Like,
And then who was it? The the Rangers, the Astros, the Giants are always unbearable, especially when not as much now because they suck and they kind of know it. But it took them a while to realize that because Giants fans don't know baseball very good. the Cardinals fans are just always terrible. Yankees fans, obviously. The Mets, I want to know what the Mets Cardinals fans are like.
Cardinals deserve no good things. I have nothing but hate for the Cardinals, and I have nothing but hate for the people in my timeline or my mentions saying that Joey Gallo is going to end up being teammates with Nolan Arenado, but it's going to be in St. Louis instead of Texas, like I thought. And every single one of those people can just like delete your account forever and just get out of my life. I don't need that energy. I am depressed enough already. If that happens, then like, I don't know. I will just forget baseball exists on purpose as self-care.
There was a tweet that MLB put out a few days ago. And it was like, oh, who's the best infield duo? Or you know, I think it was first and third base duo in the majors. And I think that they had Chapman and Olsen on there. They might not have.
They did. I remember
and
that.
It was like, oh, yeah, there's all these people. And it was like Luke Voit. And I'm like, it's not the Yankees, you guys. And then, so I just replied because, you know, being a good social media manager for Locked On A's, I was like, I'll take the two gold glovers with 30 plus home runs. And I had Cardinals fans going, oh, you mean Arenado and Goldie? And I'm like, you guys just got this guy. Calm down. our guys are homegrown. I just don't respond to people that are trying to troll.
About to say they're all homegrown because, on my podcast with Javi last week, I talked about ways to fix baseball. While it actually make me very sad because I mean the Oakland A's are actually good for like a while, but like get somebody rich willing to spend money and buy the A's and the Rays and you know the Cleveland baseball team too while we're at it.
Midwest, whatever.
I don't know, just people, owners who want to spend money. Well,
yeah,
we'll have that conversation another day because we've already gone way over on this. But it's an important topic. It's the most exciting thing, most impactful thing for, I'd say, either of our off seasons. I mean, as much as the Foltynewicz signing was impactful, it's still not quite the Elvis Andrus trade.
Exactly. Real quick before we leave, who's winning the Super Bowl?
Chiefs. This will come out afterwards because of my large adult son, Patrick Mahomes.
I think I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I can't stand Tom Brady. If Tom Brady was not the quarterback of the Bucks, I would be rooting for them probably. But since he is, go Pat Mahomes and your child.
Thank you for supporting my son.
All right. Thanks for coming on, man. I'll send this over to you soon.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
That's going to do it for today's episode and this week's episodes of Locked On Rangers. I had so much fun talking with Jason Berg about this trade, learned quite a bit from him, and I'm really excited about what this is going to do for the Rangers. Of course, I'm still sad. I will be sad for a long time that Elvis Andrus is no longer a Ranger. Also, the Rangers made a tribute video, which I have mixed feelings about because, you know, he's not retiring. He's just traded basically in what should still be his prime. But it was really sweet hearing those messages from Michael Young, from Beltre, and from all of his teammates just talking about how much they loved Elvis, and it stirred up quite a bit of feelings. But so go follow Jason Burke on Twitter, but at @byjasonb. Listen to Locked On A's for all of your A's nudes, anything you might need on them. And follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. Follow this account at Locked On Rangers so you can see updates of when we are posting, or I guess when I am posting new episodes and all kinds of other great stuff, memes, laughs, all kinds of other good stuff like that. But that's going to do it for today's episode. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.